Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm Scott Allison. I've got Randy Harris with me. He's our constable. He's going to talk to us about the ins and outs of renting houses. And we're going to talk about the renter's advantage. We're going to talk about the landlord's advantage. We're going to give you the whole scoop of what's going on if you own property or if you rent property. So stay tuned. We've got a lot of education coming your way. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, man. I really appreciate you joining us. I know how busy you are and what you do, but I think this is real important. I know all the laws are always changing. And what I'd like to do today, if it's okay with you, is I'd like to talk a little bit, well, not a lot, to be honest with you. I'd like to talk, one, if you're a renter, what's your law, what your rights are. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, sometimes you have crappy landlords. And sometimes, you know, if you're an owner of a property, you have renters that don't pay the rent or don't take care of their property. You know, just a whole scenario, if we could.
Okay. Well, you know, I think starting out there, one of the best things that a landlord and a tenant can do is have a written lease agreement.
Absolutely.
That protects both parties when something happens. You know, I've heard it said, well, it's just a piece of paper until somebody has a complaint. When they have a complaint, then you have something to go by. You have something in writing, something that dictates the terms of the agreement. Because when the police get called out there and the landlord's trying to throw somebody out, well, we just have a verbal lease agreement. Well, we can't intervene on this because you have no terms dictated for what you're trying to complain against your tenants about. Or if a tenant complains on a landlord, the same thing. If you don't have a written lease agreement, it doesn't matter whether it's the formal legal form or if it's written on a napkin. If you got something in writing, it's a lot better than a verbal agreement.
Well, and I think even in West Texas, I think most good West Texas people try to tell the truth and try to do the right thing every time. But sometimes just because I said it and you heard it, doesn't mean what I meant when I said and what you heard isn't what we meant to say and what you meant to hear.
Right.
And put it in writing. When you reduce it to writing, that makes it, this is what it says in black and white.
Exactly.
And that's the best way to do anything.
Exactly. The old adage, lost in translation.
Yes, 100% correct.
Gets lost in translation. And, you know, one of the biggest things, you know, and I've talked about it on the program before, is you have landlords that think they have the moral high ground, but they don't have the legal high ground. You have tenants that are the same way, think they have the moral high ground, not the legal high ground. And at least if you have something in writing, that gives the authorities somewhere to go, something to that's concrete. But one of the biggest problems that we see when there is not a written lease agreement is the landlord thinks, well, I've got a right to go into my property at any time. Well, no, not by law. Not by law. There's nothing in statute except for manufactured housing that dictates that a landlord has a reasonable right to inspection of the property unless it is in a written lease agreement. So,
and usually in written, it states even when you can do that.
Yes, and it's very particular. You have to make an appointment with the tenant. You have to let them know when you're coming, what time you want to come, and then a tenant has to agree to that time. If the tenant doesn't agree to that time, that landlord, even though they own the property, they do not have legal possession of the property, and they have no right to enter the property, and they can be criminally charged with criminal trespass for entering the property without permission of the tenant.
So you're talking about something I even know a little bit about, bundle of rights.
Yeah.
You have the right of ownership, but you know, when you sell or lease, your right of tenancy, and that's what you're doing when you lease your property, mm-hmm. the right of possession, you are leasing that to someone else, which means they have the right of possession, you don't.
Right. You have legal possession. I try to do the analogy of people that we catch with drugs. Well, those are not my drugs. I'm holding them for somebody. Well, it's not about ownership. It's about possession. You're the one that's in possession of the property, and we try to tell the landlords, it's not about ownership. It's about legal possession. That tenant is in legal possession of that property.
Well, and it is, because I've had people say, well, I own the house. I can do whatever I want. I said, no, sir, you can't, because we manage property for people. And I liked what you said, the moral high ground, mm-hmm. or the legal high ground. I've never really heard it put that way, but that's a very good way to put it.
Right. You know, and an example of that is, the tenant says they're not fixing the stuff in the property, so I'm not going to pay my rent. Well, they think they have the moral high ground. Why should I pay rent if they are not going to fix the things on the property? And they'll quit paying rent, and they end up getting an eviction. Well, they didn't fix this. Well, that's not part of it. There's no legal means not to pay rent in Texas. You have to always pay the rent. And what they don't realize is that there's other things through repair and remedy they have to do, but their rent has to be current. If their rent is not current, the landlord does not have to fix anything. And that's the moral high ground. Like, well, hey.
Well, let's talk about what you just said. If I'm paying my rent, I'm a tenant, and I'm paying my rent, and you're the landlord, and I say, okay, Randy, I've paid my rent. Here's my $800. I've just paid my rent this month. And I've asked you for 3 months in a row to fix my leaky roof. It's coming into my house now. Mm-hmm. And you haven't fixed it. What can I do?
Well, they have the repair and remedy clause of the Texas Property Code. Chapter 92 of the Texas Property Code is where it's found. And the landlord has to repair anything that affects the health and safety of the tenants. Leaky roof, black mold, whatever else comes in, that affects the health and safety of the tenant. If they are not fixing that, there is a process where the tenant can make notifications to the landlord to fix it. If they don't fix it, then they can go to small claims court in the Justice of the Peace courts and file a repair and remedy lawsuit. And that can be quite costly for the landlord because it's kind of hard to win those from a landlord standpoint. Either you did fix it or you didn't fix it.
Yeah, it's real obvious, probably.
It's obvious. If you didn't fix it, then you are liable to the tenant for 1 month's rent plus $500, which is already costly. If they have any actual damages, say, for example, it was an electrical issue and they lose all the meat in their freezer, there's actual damages. So they have to pay all of that.
Wow.
And attorney's fees. So they'll have to pay the attorney's fees if they hire an attorney to do this. So it becomes quite costly. And those are hard for landlords to win unless they actually went in and repaired it. If they get the judgment against them, say, for example, they get a $2,000 or $3,000 judgment against them, they don't pay the judgment, then we can actually execute on that rental property because it is not exempt under execution in the state of Texas. And we can levy and seize their rental property and sell it on the courthouse steps to pay that judgment off for the repair and remedies.
It's not under the homestead law.
Yeah, it's not.
Let's clarify. You said if it's a health issue, you know, if a tenant says, this house has a pink bedroom and I don't like the color pink anymore, I want you to come paint a different color.
No obligation there. That's zero. Not a health and safety issue. They have to articulate the health and safety issue. The only one health and safety issue that they have articulated in the statute is they have to provide hot water of at least 120 degrees. And we've seen one of those recently come in within the past few weeks on a repair and remedy. And that landlord had actually been through a repair and remedy lawsuit and lost several thousand dollars over it. And it didn't even go to court because they got it, they fixed it, they took care of it, they discounted the tenant's rent and made it right.
Which is the way it should be.
Yes.
Okay, so see, folks, I'm going to learn something here. We got it all going. So if you're a tenant and if you got a serious problem, there you have an answer. I thought if I'd go to my owner and say, hey, I got a serious problem, and if we don't take care of it, I'm going to take it to small claims court.
Exactly.
Now let's take the other scenario. We've got an owner of a house, and we've got several scenarios there. Either they're tearing the house up, they're not taking care of the house, or they're not paying rent.
Okay.
What do we do?
That is where you have to go into the eviction process, whether it is a written lease or an oral lease. A lease agreement can be written or oral, and a lot of people don't understand. They go, well, we don't have a lease. It has to be written. No, there can be an oral lease.
But we don't recommend that.
We do not recommend that. But either way, whatever the terms between the landlord and tenant are, they have to start through the eviction process.